How can they be, you know, so backward? How can these cartels be taking over this country to where this country is an absolute mess? But we have Gail Trotter on the line, so I'm going to be telling you about that in the next blocks. It's interesting stuff. Gail, thanks for joining me. Sorry about the connection hookup. Hiccup.
Great to be with you.
So tell me a little bit about what's happening election 2016 on the ground in D.C. Is the sentiment there? And for those of you who haven't heard Gail, she's an attorney and a political analyst and one of the better ones I've spoken to. That's why we keep having her back. Is the prevailing wisdom among the D.C. intelligentsia that we're going to be having a contested convention?
Yes, certainly. I think that is the case that, you know, Donald Trump is in Washington, D.C. today to meet with members of the Republican establishment before he gives a speech to AIPAC tonight, which is the Jewish organization that's very pro-Israel.
Yeah.
And I think that Republicans in D.C. are kind of split between the conservative pundits who are the never Trump camp, and they do not want to see Donald Trump ascend to the nomination no matter what. So they are certainly pushing the contested convention idea because they want it to be contested. They don't want to see Donald Trump just walk into the nomination. And then there, the establishment Republicans, I think exemplified in some part by people like Reince Priebus, head of the Republican National Committee, understand that a contested convention makes it much more difficult for the eventual nominee to go up against, presumably, Hillary Clinton in the fall. So I think there is a discord on this issue with the Reince Priebus wing of the Republican Party wanting to assure that whoever is going to be selected, and it looks like Donald Trump obviously is in the lead right now, that he will have smooth sailing to the nomination so that the Republican Party can put all of their weight behind him to make sure that he is in the best possible position for the general election. And then there are the conservative pundits like George Will and some would say David Brooks of the New York Times, although maybe he shouldn't be included in that list, whose heads are spinning at the thought of Donald Trump being the eventual nominee.
Well, yeah, you know, here's what I think is so short-sighted on the part of Priebus and the RNC. How do you select a candidate? And I don't put it past them, Gail, to not even go with Kasich, to go and pick a Paul Ryan, Mr.
Right?
Not Gonna Run, because he and Priebus have a long personal friendship, or a Mitt Romney who didn't throw his hat in. But if they do that, and they, like Ernie White, I know you know Ernie as well. Ernie White always says they're a private club. He's a voting delegate. They're a private club. They can do what they want. If they do that, that person has no mandate from the people. Why would Congress? Congress might work with them because they're the establishment's choice, but how do they ever have a mandate? How does the RNC ever again have a mandate with the American people? The brand, to me, would be ruined.
I think you're right. It would be ruined because the Republicans are all about process, and if they turn themselves into pretzels and it's perceived by the American people, not only Republican voters, but all of the American voters, that the RNC has orchestrated some kind of backroom deal in order to elevate someone like Paul Ryan, who you might remember said he would not be Speaker of the House, but was, you know, basically convinced to run for Speaker of the House.
Yes.
And accept it. He's saying the same thing about the Republican presidential nomination. But I think you're exactly right. It would be the end of the party because Republicans would be violating some of their most closely held principles that they are all about the process.
They certainly would. Gail, do you have a few minutes to hang out with me through the break? Because I wanted to speak to you about this and we had some trouble connecting.
Yes, sure.
Sounds good. Stick around. More with Gail Trotter. I want to speak with Gail about the Never Trump movement and some developments there when we come back. You're with John Cardillo. The John Cardillo Show, CRN Digital Talk Radio. Welcome back to the program, The John Cardillo Show, with me, John. I'm continuing my conversation with attorney and political analyst Gail Trotter. And Gail, I wanted to talk to you about the Never Trump movement because I'm seeing all of these Never Trump people. And today, Mexico, a story breaks on Drudge this morning, I'm sure you saw it, where Mexico is now lobbying the Obama administration to push citizenship for Mexican residents in the U.S. as a way to stop Donald Trump from, building a wall and doing all these things. So I've always thought the Never Trump movement was short-sighted and ridiculous, but now they have an ally in Mexico. How do they keep their credibility when these kinds of things are happening and when they're being silent on the riots at Trump during Trump rallies.
Yes, that's crazy, isn't it, to think that they have now aligned themselves with foreign interests. And I have long thought that they have painted themselves into a corner because these are the same people who are most vociferous about opposing Hillary Clinton and pointing out Benghazi, the four brave Americans who died on her watch as Secretary of State, who've gone after her for the email scandal, have talked about her complete incompetence, and most importantly, her complete congenital liar dishonesty factor. And I think that these folks are going to regret the corner that they painted themselves in, not only because it will harm, if Donald Trump is the eventual nominee, it will harm him in the general election, one would think, at least with some people, but it also takes away their voice in the presidential election. And the Never Trump people, if we're talking about the political pundit class, that's what they make their money from. That's what, you know, their influence is derived from. And so they have really made it difficult for themselves to weigh in a way that the American people want to hear, because certainly Trump is answering a fear or a disquiet in the American electorate that has been so far completely unaddressed by the Washington cartel, the political class that is in office right now.
Yeah, really. And you know, I am so disappointed at many of my colleagues. Many of these people are friends of mine who have taken the Never Trump reason that, A, I think it's disingenuous, because what they're really saying is that we're pro-Cruz and nobody else. But B, look, that's fine. But they refuse to vet Ted Cruz. And so they were completely hysterical. I want to switch gears and talk about a story that popped up. They were completely hysterical when Corey Lewandowski allegedly grabbed Michelle Fields' wrist. Okay. We saw the video, really nothing there. This is the former cop in me talking. Forget I'm in conservative media. But they didn't say a word, not a word, when on March 3rd, Michelle Fields did a piece in Breitbart about Jeb Bush's finance team joining the Cruz campaign. You heard nothing about principled, unwavering Ted Cruz joining forces with Jeb Bush.
Right, and it is fascinating what the media picks up on and what is echoed by the political punditry, because they have these memes, these narratives that they want to advance and put out there. And you've seen since, I think, probably the end of last week, it's been very strong against Donald Trump and the violence, and he's promoting violence, and even his, you know, campaign manager is promoting violence, is engaged in violence. And I would tell you, Donald Trump is not a conventional candidate, so instead of firing Corey Lewandowski or, you know, somehow sanctioning him, he put him right on stage with him at the press conference that he gave right after the primaries last Tuesday. So he's an unconventional candidate. The media, he does something unconventional. The media goes totally wild about it. And then they don't devote that attention, like you're saying, to these other developments that could be very significant for voters to know about.
Well, they certainly could. And here's the other thing. So there's this other video now they're going hysterical about. Corey Lewandowski manhandles, grabs that, he horse collars a protester. But when you watch the video, the protester violently pushes two people before Lewandowski puts his hand on him and they escort him out. I mean, this guy could have knocked people over, could have cracked their skulls. They omit that part. They omit the assault first by the protester. It is mind-blowing to me, Gail. Absolutely mind-blowing.
It's selective editing, right? I mean, they have a point of view that they're trying to advance. They're trying to get it to pick up wind, pick up steam, and to deflate Donald Trump's popularity. But now in the age of, you know, access to videos, phone videos, and I think, you know, as a former cop, you understand this, there's a lot more accountability out there now. But it can also be used selectively. And yet there is a way that if we do have further evidence that it can be used to counteract or to, you know, come across and explain what happened in the situation differently to give a more full picture. So I think that really works to the advantage of the campaigns when they're out there. And if the presumptive candidate is willing to stand by his people, if they really have not done anything wrong.
Well, right. And I always said, well, I always, but when the Michelle Fields story first broke, I said, this could be a very dangerous knife that cuts both ways. that was a room full of cameras. And she and her boyfriend, the guy over at the Daily Caller, right. assumed stupidly that there would be no other video in that room, that they were, you know, obscured by those television cameras, and it turned out not to be the case. Gail, always a pleasure to speak with you. I know we're going to be speaking soon as the most bizarre campaign I've ever encountered moves forward.
It is great to be with you. Great to catch up with you.
Yeah, always a good time. Gail Trotter, she's an attorney, she's a political analyst, and really one of the better ones out there. That's why I love having her on, because she's honest and isn't towing a line or beholden to any one camp. And this Never Trump movement, wow, I mean, some of the most intelligent people, some people I really like and really respect, Gail said it best, they painted themselves into a corner. And I don't know how they're going to get out of it. Not to mention the fact that if Donald Trump wins the presidency, they don't have a friend in the White House to give them access. And it's hard to exist in the media business when you're shut out of major offices. You're always going to be a day late and a dollar behind your competitors. This is John Cardillo. You're with the John Cardillo Show, CRN Digital Talk Radio.